Her research and that of her students and postdocs is investigating integrated nutrient management in farming systems of Africa, including options for soil and land rehabilitation. Her most recent work investigates the trade-offs and synergies, and that's what we've asked her to speak about today, among agricultural intensification strategies, the environment, and rural livelihoods. Prior to joining the University of Florida, Dr. Palm was a senior research scientist and director of research in the Ag Center at Columbia University, and is now a fellow of the American Society of Agronomists, as well as the chair of the International Nitrogen Initiative from 2008 to 11. Thanks for coming to share your work. We're looking forward to it.
Thank you, Elizabeth, and thanks to all for coming. So what I'm going to talk about is work that I actually did prior to working at Columbia University. I was senior scientist at the Tropical Soil Biology and Fertility Program based in Nairobi, Kenya. It was then taken over by CIOT, and people don't talk about TSBF anymore, but I think it's an incredible program. And we interacted with many people in the room here, Charlie Wortman, Patrick Mutuo, if I don't recognize others, obviously Jenna Rose, looking at organic materials as a source of soil fertility improvement for degraded soils in Africa. Before that, I worked in the Amazon looking, again, how can you use organic materials as lands degrade to maintain soil fertility. So I'm speaking with experience, research experience, lots of good results, as Pedro and Jenna Rose showed, but you walk out in these landscapes and you wonder, so where are all these technologies? Why aren't farmers taking them up? So I'll go through some of the reasons we're finding this out. Some of these slides I actually took from about 15 years ago when we were working with TSBF. I think they're equally relevant now. Okay, this is an old slide, again, 1997, with the recommended amount of fertilizer or nutrients required for maize in Kenya, and then the average use of mineral fertilizer and organics. So the point here is farmers are using organics. All farmers use organics throughout the world. You really don't see farming systems without organic materials. It's in this situation in Africa, in many cases, there are small quantities of these because crop yields are low, as Jenna Rose just explained so well, and the quality of those materials are actually quite poor. And you'll often find immobilization of nitrogen and even phosphorus from organic inputs, including manures, which people usually think are high input. So if you have, starting out with the traditional inputs, maize, stover, and manure, that Jenna Rose is saying is part of ISFM, you see the low quality of them. And so we looked for alternatives. So what was out on the landscape, and we started looking at leaves from Dithonia diversifolia, a composite, Lantana camara, another composite, Thespania, a native legume in many wetlands in Kenya. And you can see the high nitrogen contents, high phosphorus contents. So we thought, well, let's play with these. If the manures and the crop residues aren't doing well, how can we help improve yields using higher quality materials? We actually even did several studies. This is a meta-analysis of several studies, and it's called sort of a fertilizer equivalency trial. So with Patrick Mutuo and others, we have network trials all over sub-Saharan Africa, where we had a fertilizer response curve as well as certain quantities of a manure that contains 75 kilograms of nitrogen. And so we matched that, and we found out that some of these materials, well, you can see over here on the left-hand side, low nitrogen contents below 2% nitrogen are immobilizing and really don't increase crops at all. Then you have others that go above 100%. So the organics were performing better than a mineral fertilizer applied at the same rate. It might be micronutrients, what other things. So we sort of developed this fertilizer equivalency based on the quality of materials. From that, we set up field trials with NGOs. And again, Patrick helped do this. He probably remembers seeing some of these trials. Jenna Rose was involved. And so we compared organics with mineral fertilizer versus the control, and then combinations. Here are the results from several trials, mostly, I believe these were mostly in Kenya, with CARE was an NGO, and COOP. There were like five NGOs involved. And so you can see from this that yields were low, less than one ton, with the recommended nitrogen and phosphorus, DAP plus CAN. It increased, just about doubled, but still very low yields. 5 tons of dithonia, you got up to 2 tons. Then you mix half the DAP with half the dithonia, and you did just as well. So we're trying to look at what do farmers have available to them to be able to improve soil fertility and increase crop yields. Again, in many of these places, fertilizers are extremely expensive or not available. Still, 15 years later, they're more available now than they were, but they're often not profitable. And so you have to think, how can you improve yields with the resources available to farmers? Okay, so we went back. They re-interviewed farmers that were in our network. And after those 4 years, they found adoption was, meaning they continued to do it after we left the field, 10 to 26%. And those were in villages where there were active NGOs. They were around visiting the farmers, hey, are you going to do it again this year? 5% in villages without NGOs. It takes a constant input, reinforcement why this is something you should be doing. So a lot of it is this farmer extension, farmer to farmer feedback to keep people involved. And as Genero said, a lot of the constraints are labor. This is biomass transfer. First they have to cut the biomass somewhere in the landscape and carry it. It was 5 tons. I mean, that's a lot, okay? That's about 100 kilograms of nitrogen. When if you had a bag of urea, it's a lot less than 5 tons. So organics have problems for people constrained by labor. So we need to think of ways to be able to do that in a more efficient way. Here's another study. Genero's talked about improved fallows. So these are legume fallows that are planted in the field. They're left in the field for 6 months, maybe 2 years. You cut them and then you grow your crops. And so there was a lot of success in this throughout Western Kenya. And then a student from Wageningen University went and started interviewing farmers after the fact, and also biomass transfer. So you'll see this progression, 2000, 2001, 2, 3, and 4. Again, about a quarter of the farmers at least adopted to some degree. You'll see some increases up to 2002, and then some decreases. Well, it turns out some of the increase was due to the fact that the NGO, or the research institute in this case, was buying the seeds of the improved fallows from the farmers. They were getting an economic benefit by planting those. When that NGO left, that research institute left, there was no longer a market for the legume seeds, so they quit planting them. Again, it wasn't seen as for soil fertility. They needed to see some added benefit. And so people are surprised, but we're finding this more and more. All these great things, farmers see the improvements, but then they don't continue. Okay, some of the reasons that were explored. So yeah, some people did adopt, but it was on less than 10% of the cropland. It's called adoption, but really isn't any significant improvement. My dear friend and colleague Ken Geller has been pushing grain legumes, other types of legumes throughout sub-Saharan Africa, and Charlie Wortman for years, and he says, and I still walk out on these fields, and if it's more than 10% of a farm's field, I'm really surprised. So you just don't see these obvious technologies from a research perspective taking off. Labor requirements is one. Land requirements. If you put something into Makuna or into an improved fallow, it takes land away from a crop. And if you don't see extra benefits, you're not likely to give up that land or the time when you could be producing crops. In some cases, there are land tenure issues that goes when it's tree crops. Okay, here's another example from Zambia. where they looked at crop rotations, kraal manure, that's basically manure that's composted, mineral fertilizer, and again, improved fallows. And the percent of the farmers adopting them, and they did it by wealth category or typologies of farmers, and you'll see it's very different. If you look at improved fallows, you'll see, yes, the poorer farmers did more. Then even the fairly well-off did more. Then once you're well-off, you don't do that anymore. Kraal manure, it's the well-off. So Generos talks about manure being part of a system, integrated soil fertility management, but you need livestock. To have livestock, you need money. So you need to think of the whole system that will get people to adopt. All right, so Jenna Rose, I just took her slide a little bit and I just talk about it. So land problems, amount of land that you might need for your biomass transfer, for your green manure cover crops, or your agroforestry trees. The time to realize benefits. Sometimes the fertility benefits are pretty quick, but the soil organic matter ones take much longer. And if you really need some of those features, especially in sandy soils, for water holding capacity and micronutrients and stuff, it takes a long time to realize those benefits when you really need to grow crops today and better. There's a lot of competition for these residues or many of these materials you find on the landscape for livestock, and even fuel in many of these places. You'd be surprised what's used for fuel. And then again, labor is a big issue. I just want to drive home a point here about labor requirements. This table looks at how much nutrients are required by 2 tons of a maize crop, and this includes the biomass it has to grow, and then the nutrients in 4 tons of an organic input. We just use that one, and you'll see. So 4 tons, again, think about that. When a bag of urea weighs like 50 kgs, 4 tons is a lot. And some of those don't even have enough nutrients, even if you carry the 4 tons. All right, so people need to realize that organics are heavy. As Pedro said, the nutrients are diluted. So we need to be very cognizant of that. Here's an interesting one. This is a meta-analysis by Seleshi, and it looks at the yield difference over the control. Okay, and it's a huge meta-analysis, an excellent paper. But again, it shows green manure fallows increased yields by less than a ton, non-coppicing and coppicing, those are legume tree fallows, by about a ton, and fertilizer by 2 tons. And so farmers see this, and they have to decide, is that worth a ton of extra or half a ton? And so you need to think, and it's taken time to get those fallows going. So they've already lost a crop, if not 2 crops. And so you actually have to divide these yield increases probably by 2. And it's really not increasing their yields sufficiently to be profitable. Okay, so I'm just going to step up to this one about for adoption. How do we get to see more of these things that we know work well for smallholders and soil fertility improvement and crop improvement? You really need to know the farmer's situation, which means their land size, their assets that they have, the soils they have, and even the climate they're under. We need to study more of what factors were in place when people did adopt them. I think this whole one about buying seeds from agroforestry trees is fantastic. So why can't we get little informal seed markets going? And maybe then people might start planting those tree fallows again. We need to find reasons that farmers would adopt and try to work the system accordingly. Many incentive mechanisms one can think about. Generos talked about the, what's it called, Generos? Soil 1000 or soil carbon 1000. That's to pay farmers basically for ecosystem services. Conditional subsidies for receiving mineral fertilizer. Some people talk about that. So you start getting this integrated soil fertility management. And I think the establishment of integrated livestock systems is the key way to kick this whole thing off. But how do they get the livestock? You can start with chickens. But anyway, I think we really need to think about the system. That includes the farmers, it includes the livestock, it includes the policies that are going on in a country and see how we can use those to kick off this integrated soil fertility management practices. As Jenna Rose said, you need to have fertilizer to get the whole system going, even to get enough organics. And so we really have to, it's not going to take off by itself. So what are the incentives, the policies we need to put in place so that soil organic matter management does work for smallholder farmers? Thank you.